Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live following the Timberwolves' loss to the Washington Wizards on Monday. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North is with us to talk through the Wolves' loss to the Wizards on Monday, and of course also an injury to Karl-Anthony Towns. We'll get a little bit into that here in a moment. But Marty, another night, another really lackadaisical start to a game for the Timberwolves. They fell behind 23-8 to start the game. They gave up 77 points in the first half. They ultimately trailed by as many as 28 points late in the second quarter in this one.
Yeah, not a great start for the second game in a row, and a great start to the second half. The Wolves came out with a 10-0 run, and I actually started looking up what were the biggest comebacks in the NBA this season, and then I stopped looking that up because it was not meant to be for the Timberwolves. It just defensively, the issue was not the offense. We scored 100, or the Timberwolves, I should say, scored 127 points in this game. That's the fourth highest point total they've had this season. The fourth highest point total they've had this season, and they lost by 15. Incredible.
Yeah, and we could get it. There's a couple positives we can talk about. I think we're there. We can try and pull some positives from this game because we could have gone that way with the 127. The Wizards don't exactly have an all-world defense, but the Wolves, they kept pace. You know, they fell behind 23-8, like I mentioned, and you pick your number in the first half of the first quarter. It was like 19-4, you know, like whatever. And then the Wolves actually kind of pushed back. They were only down 5 at the end of the first quarter, but then the second quarter was more of the same, and the Wolves' offense really couldn't keep up. The biggest thing for me in this one was effort in transition defense once again. I mean, this was another team that they had the scouting report, just like everybody does now. You can run on the Timberwolves. You need to run on the Timberwolves because the half-court defense isn't all that bad for Minnesota statistically this year. But the Wizards are a team that came into this game 23rd in pace and 23rd in offensive rating. They were shooting under 34% from three as a team, but they shot 48% from three in this game against the Wolves, above 48% actually. And I mean, just too many defensive lapses for Minnesota. First of all, in transition, but even in the half court in this game, rotations weren't crisp. Guys were just getting wide open threes really at any point in the shot clock for the Wizards.
Man, for Porzingis to have that huge first half and hit his first 5 or 6 from three. And it just, I mean, there were just too many good looks, and it just, the momentum swings so quickly when you give up three-pointers, especially. They just get the crowd going. It's obviously one extra point in the score sheet than just giving up a two. But it was the on-ball defense again. Chris Finch talked about it after the game. He said that same thing after the Golden State game on Sunday, that the number one problem for the Wolves was defense, and the number one problem with that defense was containing the ball. So containing the ball, on-ball defense, whatever label you want to give it, it's, you know, I'm watching my seventh grade daughter play basketball, and we're always yelling, stop the dribbler, stop the dribble. And it's that same kind of thing that it's like at the root that grows these massive tentacles if you don't stop it at the root. And that's the problem with the Timberwolves right now defensively, is that they are not stopping the ball. It's the on-ball defense. It's containing the basketball. Not happening enough for the Wolves to get the stops when they need them.
Yeah, and I think it's also like it's the on-ball defense, and it's like if the opposing offense passes the ball like twice in a possession. Basically, if the ball changes sides of the floor, it's like the Wolves get lost somewhere in between, and the on-ball defense gets worse as the possession goes on. And it's, I don't know if it's just maintaining the possession or what it is, but because like, off ball too, like I guess that everybody struggles against the Warriors, but on Sunday against the Warriors, kind of the same thing where they weren't containing the ball, which is hard to do against the Warriors, but then there's such a good offense off the ball too, and the Wolves were just not contesting shots. Rotations were not good in this game. There were just too many loose shooters for the Wizards, who weren't a very good shooting team coming into this game, but the Wolves lately at least have, it seems like, been making every team into a good shooting team against them. In terms of bright spots in this game, let's go there next. Jalen Noel, especially in the first half, was really good. And we saw he had another solid game here recently after he'd gone through kind of a week where he just wasn't efficient, but he was scoring, making three pointers. He was scoring off the dribble, getting into the teeth of the defense and scoring in the paint. He finished this game with 23 points on 13 shots. He also added 5 rebounds and a couple of assists. So a strong game from Jalen Noel. And otherwise, you know, the Wolves bench was relatively quiet, but Noel played really well.
He did, and he'd had more than a quiet week. It had been the first 5 games of the season, Jalen Noel was really good. He was that instant bucket off the bench. And then it was a pretty quiet couple of 2-3 weeks before getting these back-to-back games again with the offense that we have been accustomed to seeing him just scoring these crazy bunches. But without Jordan McLaughlin again tonight, without Taurean Prince, who may miss another week, that bench is thin. So then you put Kyle Anderson in. He ended up starting the second half for the Wolves. They need that. They need that. And they also need the defense from Noel, which has always been kind of the issue that's kept him off the court. But if they needed it from him when everyone was healthy, they need it in double dose when guys are not healthy. Plus, we did not have Jaden McDaniels again tonight for the Wolves. And missing him defensively is just a huge issue. So we can talk about Jalen Noel and the offense, and it was a positive, and it is great to see, but it just kind of keeps going back to that point of, yeah, but where's the defense? And that needs to take priority right now, because it isn't the offense where the Wolves are struggling. It's preventing the other team from scoring a huge amount. Like, the point total on Sunday against Golden State was the highest the Wolves have given up all season until tonight, which now becomes the new point total that the Wolves have given up all season, or the highest point total. So it's just not a good sign in consecutive games that you weren't able to fix what the issue was. Because, and Washington is not a great offensive team. Right. I mean, they were like bottom 5 in offensive net rating and points per game. They averaged something like 109 points per game, I think, was the number coming into this one. So to give up 142 was... That's really telling.
The basketball reference number related to the Wizards offense, they were 23rd in offensive rating. They were 23rd in pace. They don't play fast, and the Wolves let them play as fast as they wanted in this game. They were like 22nd in 3-point shooting, I believe, percentage wise. So yeah, not a good offense. And we, you know, last week this saw the same thing against Charlotte, which was actually the league's worst offense at the time. And they pretty much got what they wanted against the Wolves. Let's talk about our presenting sponsor from today's show. That is our friends at Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. You can test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. Speaking of players that were effective offensively and struggled defensively, I think Anthony Edwards belongs in that category as well. He had 29 points in this game, 8 rebounds. He did have 7 turnovers, but there was this flurry in the third quarter where when the Wolves made that push to get back in the game, and Ant was basically unstoppable. He had, I don't know, 3-4 dunks. I lost track. Just a number of powerful dunks, hit a couple of tough shots. He was only 1 of 6 from 3, but he got to the line a bunch in this game. This was kind of, in some ways, a microcosm of his season so far, where it was really a roller coaster with moments that were super impressive and then really head scratching moments as well.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's been a theme for Anthony Edwards this season. One of those dunks was Karl-Anthony Towns, like on the baseline, saving the ball and then passing it to Ant as he streaked through the center of the lane and then just demolished the rim. And I think that's the hardest dunk we've seen from Ant this season. And I feel like we've been waiting and waiting for that to come. And it did, but it was once. And I mean, he had a couple of them tonight, you're right. But that one was that authoritative, like, yes, here we go, he's unleashed. And then it just kind of didn't really lead to much else, because Ant had a really quiet fourth quarter. And it kind of goes along with D'Angelo Russell had a big first quarter. He had 13 points in the first quarter. He finished the game with 17. So it's these highs and lows that kind of come from players and the team. And it's just like you can't put it all together, minus that Indiana game, which Chris Finch pointed out in his post game was 5 days ago. And he said, we felt like we were on top of the world and played the best basketball we played all season. It was 5 days ago. And all of a sudden we feel like we're a million miles away from that. And it's just incredible how a team can swing the way the Wolves did with their best win of the season at Indiana and immediately follow it up with their worst loss of the season at Charlotte. And then you talk about Anthony Edwards here, Ben. That's like it, they're all in the same theme, like too high and too low, too many swings up and down and not enough just like good, steady production throughout.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned D'Angelo Russell. I think he fits in that category. It's maybe a little different because he's, at this stage, a veteran, right? I mean, Anthony Edwards is still 21. He's still in his third season. And so, like, a little bit of that's to be expected, even if it is maddening. But with D'Lo, kind of the same thing. And we saw that within the game here. And you mentioned, like, D'Lo had the big first quarter. Noel had the big scoring second quarter. Ant had the big third quarter. And then nobody really stepped up individually in the fourth. That the game was effectively over, you know, midway through the fourth, not even really that far into the fourth quarter. But we should also mention the Karl Anthony Towns injury. He went down in the second half with what looked like it could have been a really severe lower leg injury. And the team reported is it a calf strain and said he was out for the rest of the game. There's already been some national reports that the Wolves are optimistic. He'll get an MRI Monday. I think Chris Finch said that post game as well. So it, but either way, I mean, even if it is just ultimately a calf strain, we don't know the severity of it, but that could be anywhere from a handful of days to a couple to a few weeks. I mean, there's such a wide range of possibilities there. And Naz Reid played pretty well, you know, in the minutes after the injury, but like he's going to have a much bigger role here in the next, hopefully only days, not weeks, if Towns is out. But sitting here right now, the Towns injury is obviously, you know, forefront to what the Wolves are looking at here for the next few days.
Yeah, and it was one of those non-contact injuries. So those always kind of make you hold your breath in a different kind of way. Yep. But it was Carl's reaction, I feel like, that wasn't... I mean, you could tell he was in pain, and he had to be helped off the court. He didn't put any pressure on his leg, but it wasn't a rolling around where you can hear the guy yelling and screaming where, you know, those kind of non-contact injuries are just devastating. So all indications are it is a calf strain, but you're right. The severity of that, we don't know. But maybe this gives the Wolves a chance to kind of figure out a little more of the Gobert stuff without it. You don't have to worry about it. How many minutes do we pair him with Carl? And maybe just stepping away from that lets them sort of clear that up. And when Carl does come back, maybe it's a better, well-oiled machine. I'm just trying to look at the positive parts of any amount of time that Karl Anthony Towns might have to miss.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows? The Wolves play next Wednesday against Memphis and then not again until Saturday. So if he misses the Wednesday game, which, you know, speculating, but at this point seems pretty likely, then there's a couple more days they don't play again until Saturday. So who knows if it ends up being a massive bullet dodged and it's a relatively minor calf strain, then, you know, maybe it ends up not being something we're still talking about here in the next couple of weeks. So Memphis on Wednesday, a couple days off. Oklahoma City, they get on Saturday, they get three consecutive home games. And then Indiana after that next week. So they get a few days off after the Saturday game. So here's hoping for a positive three-game homestand, a couple very winnable games there with the Thunder and the Pacers coming to town. Marty and I go live after every Timberwolves game, about 45 minutes or so after the final horn. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota to watch live, or you can listen to the audio after the fact on any of the Locked On Wolves channels. And please be sure to subscribe to that wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you for watching and for listening, and we'll catch you next time.